A recorder joined.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, I wanted to start out by saying I believe I sent this email, but if I didn't, you'll hear about it now. I added a section for our discussions to be included on a wiki, and that wiki is the Genontology Wiki. The URL is just simply wiki.genontology.org. Okay. And on the left-hand bar, look for BioCurator Forum.
Okay.
Okay. And so there's not much there now, but certainly that's a place that we can be using as a place to add more information as a result of the meeting.
I just sent an email.
Okay. So I think there was only one person that sent me ideas for the agenda. And I'll just sort of tell you about that now because I think they were both good ideas. And I think it was, I don't have it right in front of me, and I've forgotten the name, so I must apologize. But the idea was today that we could talk more about the idea of contacting journals, editors, and specifically trying if you would, put together a justification for them to do more, and that requiring the authors to submit information. And the idea was to get a letter drafted that a very large number of curators would sign. The idea is that this letter could then be used with basically any journal. You know, and the idea of having, you know, tens and tens of signatories would be useful. I think that seems like a reasonable idea to me, but I'm not a journal editor. So maybe others would talk about that. And then the other idea that was pitched in the same email, again, I thought it'd be a reasonable one, is that we put a particular part, we put a page on the wiki where everybody can add papers that are difficult to curate. And difficult meaning that either, like in the MGI case, that there's a paper, it looks like it's talking about, you know, some mammal and it ended up, you know, a rat cell line, although they're pitching it as if it's a human piece of work. You know, so these would be papers that would be more easily curated or even more easily found if the journals did provide information. That's sort of how I took the idea. So I'll sort of open it up as a discussion. I know last week we initially started on one topic and then immediately switched over to the idea of the letter for the journals. Clearly it's on everybody's mind. I'd like to see what others think about that. Particularly if we want to write a letter, I think we should probably have a couple volunteers to at least prepare a draft, and then we can start editing it together.
Andy Cameron, one thing that didn't come up from the last two discussions was the enlistment of people from the communities who might be involved in editing, who might be able to help influence journals. And I think that there might be a case to be those sorts of people. Paul might have more information about this than I do, but I do know something about a couple of journals that we could approach through either editors or frequent contributors.
This is Judy. I know I'm working with the PLOS Journal.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Certainly, I mean, around here at Stanford, there's a number of people that have certainly indicated their interest in this, and so I'm assuming that would mean that they would be willing to share their name on this letter.
And then we did, I mean, it means David Eisenberg from the AP database, UCLA. David approached PNAS. He tried with science. He tried with protein science. So that's another three places where we actually tried to do something. I don't know how far it's gonna go. At least we're trying with those guys.
Yeah, and I have some contacts with Highwire Press. Of course, there are many different journals there, but at least there's a connection via their online look, and so that would mean if the submission process changed as far as online, they could be available for all of the high-wire journals, I think, just by sort of inventing it once.
And then in this case, it would be reasonable in a sense that then authors are not going to be confused by every journal doing something different and having slightly different requirements, if it's like you're saying with Highwire, where it's one cup on top of many journals. So then it would make a lot of sense. I mean, the feedback we've got from so far from PNAS was that David initially asked the editor if it's possible to get this thing through and so forth, and then the editor, one of the editors, contacted someone on the publishing side, and then the response from there was the lady pulled out the list of minimum information about whatever type of papers listed in somewhere in Nature Biotech, with comments. So which of those are or should be applied, and it's like there are so many supposedly standards or requirements that if those are gonna be required, then people are gonna run away because there's too much. So going at the lowest level might be more reasonable.
Other thoughts?
So this is Tanya Ater, and we just recently completed a survey that we did. You know, we put it up on the banner on our homepage on every page, and we had just under 400 people respond, and about 60% of those, we gave them an option. This little question was, which of the following methods would most strongly encourage you to submit data to us? But I suppose maybe we can generalize this to anybody submitting data to AAPOD. And the one that they picked kind of far and above all the other choices was integration of data submission process in the publication process for research articles. So when, this is a very small sample set, but it does imply that, if we made it easier for people to submit data by integrating it through the journal submission process, that people would do it.
And do you have any feedback from the form actually you put up with the plant physiology or whatever?
Not yet. So we have, I think, 12 articles that were potentially had TARE information, and of those we've gotten data from one. And our plan was for us to follow up with the people who had submitted data to see what was their experience like, how could we have made it better, that kind of thing.
Well, I did talk to people who did the test with the FEPS letters and the interaction data.
Yep.
And the sample they've got is pretty small. It was like at the time was like 7-8 papers, I think, total, with I think 2 out of those not interested in submission, and then the rest did submit the data, and they provided some information, but the feeling of the people who are actually behind the technical side was that probably doesn't save that much time. That information is getting there, but it takes as much time to actually work with the authors to prepare the description as it takes to actually generate the data, extract data from the papers without authors collaboration. So
it looked like the data that they were extracting from FEB's letters, though, was very involved.
And that's one observation exactly, that they wanted a lot of detail compared to whatever TARE wants. So this is probably which generates a lot of problems, because authors don't know exactly how to annotate things, and this thing takes time just to get the annotation there. So, and then the other thing is, sample is really tiny. It was literally half a dozen or so papers. So.
Yeah, I would think we'd want to keep it fairly simple. I mean, you know, things like gene names mentioned, organisms mentioned, you know, maybe strain names or something other. But I think even including something like a functional description is probably perhaps beyond, you know, certainly using a large control vocabulary, I think, would be just too overwhelming. I mean, we need a lot better tools to allow that to be queried speedily and things.
Exactly. So just to complete the report of whatever I did, it was me attending two meetings. One is of the databases dealing with protein-protein interactions within the IMEX consortium. We do collaborate in terms of sharing load of curation and splitting the workload, and we did meet like 2 weeks ago or so. And the databases are DIP, Intact, which is at EBI, and then Mint, which is in Rome, plus two or three others that are interested in collaboration or joining. But the general consensus is that they would support any effort leading to even this simple annotation with just identifying proteins and genes and whatever, without going into too much detail, because it's already useful. So this is on the side of those three databases. So probably we can get some support from there in terms of signing a letter of some sort, or shouldn't be that complicated. And then the other meeting was HUPO PSI, which is dealing with standards of various sorts for technically for proteomics data, but there's a bunch of stuff there, and people there are actually more ambitious. They would like to get actually somehow all the detailed information entered by the authors, I don't know how far this thing is gonna get, because it's as you said with FEPS, it's so much detailed information with no tools that might take forever just to get anyone done doing anything at all. So. That's the status from some contacts with some people behind databases or structures.
So one aspect here, I think we talked a little bit about this last week, is that if we make this request to the publishers, I'm assuming we would not propose that there's one site that all authors would use in submitting this information, that each publisher would collect this information. And I sort of wondered about it. It seems if there's one site, it would make sense as far as the coordination that we do, but I just imagine that being a huge hurdle to get that connected with all the publishers, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I would imagine it's I know what's the experience of TAIR, but my impression is that the form they've got is pretty simple to implement within any publication workflow of any sort. I think it's probably one simple script which generates that. So maybe it's just the providing a script of some sort, which then individual journal or publishing house can incorporate into publication flow. And then they generate the file, which is then added to the paper as a supplement.
This is a web tool?
So this is something like a web tool, but not one site in some centralized place, but like a template for every publisher to incorporate within their own site.
This is Judy, and I think we might think about this in the longer run, but at this very moment, these publishers have their own pipelines and of their data submission process and how they form it out to editors and reviewers and how it comes back in. And I would think that they would initially at least want to just extend some aspects or components of this in their system directly, and that it would be a much lengthier process to even think that they would send it to a central site, but maybe they will. I just don't know. I guess I'm just a little bit feeling that working with them to slightly modify their own sites to have this data might be a first move.
Judy, you mentioned you worked with the PLOS folks, and I know right now they require gene names and identifiers. Is that just included in the manuscript?
Well, I don't think it is included in the manuscript, but they have it.
It normally shows up at the very end of a paper, just before references. You've got information there.
The idea was to have a XML or markup that would give the taxon IDs and the gene identifiers so that you could sort that information right away, and then some aspect of the functionality that they were proclaiming for each gene.
But the sad thing is it actually not always happens. I mean, I just today in the morning I had curator trying to find out what's the protein in PLOS Biology, and there's absolutely no way to get what this thing is. There's no reference.
Could you speak up, please?
I mean, example from today in the morning. There's a paper in PLOS we're trying to annotate, and there's a protein. There's no way to identify this thing. There's no identifier given, and whatever you're getting out of the database doesn't match information given in a journal. So even with PLOS, it's not perfect.
Along the same line, electronic submissions of journals like paper journals through Elsevier's editorial manager.
Thank you. Please stand by.